Hey, everybody, you're about to listen to our brand new podcast, Nightmare Neighbors. And if you like it, please do me a favor. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. In exchange for that, I'm going to put you into a drawing for a $250 Amazon gift certificate, gift card, whatever you want to call it, gift credit, whatever it is these days. Anyway, all you have to do is leave that review on Apple Podcasts. Send me the screenshot. Send it to Tony@nightmareneighbors.com. And then shortly, I'll be picking one person at random and sending you that Amazon gift card for $250. Yes, just leave the review, Apple Podcasts. That's what helps spread the word that this show exists, that people know about it. Those reviews are tremendously helpful in us getting this show off the ground. So if you like it, please leave us that review on Apple Podcasts. Send me the screenshot to Tony, TONY@nightmareneighbors.com, and you'll be in the drawing for that Amazon gift card. I hope you like the show. I hope you can take the 30 seconds to leave the review, and I'll get yourself in that drawing for that gift certificate. Now, without further ado, Nightmare Neighbors, everybody. What do you do when you have a neighbor who won't stop banging on your walls, roof, or anything else they can reach to make your life a living hell? That's today on Nightmare Neighbors.
Sometimes the people who reside just steps from your front door turn out to be the craziest you'll ever meet. Ever have a nightmare neighbor? Share your story now by calling 888-68-CRAZY or write in at nightmareneighbors.com. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
That indeed it is. And yes, 888-68-CRAZY is our phone number. Toll free. Call it 24/7. Share your nightmare neighbor story with us or write in at nightmareneighbors.com. Be sure to press subscribe whatever platform you're listening to us on so you don't miss any episodes of the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast. And like I said, get those stories into us. The stories are what fuels our program. So if you got one, whether it be things that are going on right now or in the last handful of weeks or months or even way, way back, share it with us anonymously. You can call it in 888-68-CRAZY or online at nightmareneighbors.com. Tony and Sean joining you on today's episode of the program. And it's being recorded on the 6th of May. This thing dropping about a month after. So how's life for you at this moment in time with your neighbors?
You know, they are, I think we thought we were at the finish line of this, the world reopening, but we're realizing it's a marathon, not a sprint. And I got to tell you, there's a neighbor of mine who is very bored working at home. And we had some actual storms roll through the area the other day. So we were down on power. And let me tell you, when you are lucky enough to run into a neighbor who is working from home, so he's already missing human interaction, but then there's no power, meaning he can't work. Look the other way and run quickly, or you will be cornered for about a half hour.
So what?
Yeah, the electric man, he was going to come over, and he was supposed to be in here in this entrance. Now, backstory: I live in a condoplex, so there's neighbors in close proximity, and this gentleman happens to be, and quite honestly, I'm recording this here in our clubhouse area, so I may not talk too loud. But he's kind of the board president, the property president, if you will. Mm-hmm. So he has all the juicy info of who's moving in and who's moving out. In any event, he really wanted to tell me about his parents up in Illinois. He wanted to tell me estimations of when power would be back on. And then he wanted to proceed to tell me the last 4 years of living in this neighborhood. And he's only one of the three remaining original owners of the condos, and everybody else has cycled through, and then proceeded to tell me about four or five paragraphs of each of the people that live in our community. It was lovely. You want to be respectful. You want to be nice. You want to be polite. You don't want to interrupt and cut them off. Mm-hmm. But literally, he wasn't taking a breath. Finally, literally 7 minutes into talking, I said, you know, and I don't even know his name, I have to go let my dog out. She has to go to the bathroom. So then 15 minutes later, finally somebody showed up and they asked, do you know when the power is supposed to be back on?
Oh God.
And that was my out. That was my out.
And then it was all over again, the same story to somebody else. It's an art form, I think, with some people, the way that they are able to deliver stories. They don't finish sentences where they don't put periods where they should be. They kind of talk halfway through a sentence and they put the pause in the weird spot. So you really can't interject because you'd be interjecting in the middle of a sentence. And then they are able to make the period and immediately continue on to their next line. So there's never any way to get a word in. And they can go on endlessly. And if you're someone who is trying to be polite and is not rude and not the I'm just going to walk away from you, you're stuck. It's like being held captive. And I don't know if they realize they're doing that, but there's a lot of people that do that. And it's kind of fucked up. I don't know what that is, or if that's a skill that's developed, or if it's just maybe how their parents spoke and then they developed that vernacular or what. But yeah, well, I'm glad you found a way out of the cornered situation there.
Have you ever been in a situation where, as much as you don't want to run into a neighbor, where there's an actual opportunity where you do, but you can't, where you're looking for a neighbor, but none are to be found? Because there was a situation not 4 hours later that I wanted to find a neighbor, or several, but I couldn't.
I don't know that I've ever wanted human interaction by choice.
Well, here's the third. Can I, you let me know now or later in the show here of sharing a time where you want to see neighbors, you want to find neighbors, but you can't seem to find them.
Let's get to it in a little bit. I want to hear what happened in that story. I've been going off on the last handful of episodes of some shit shows going on here, and I'm not going to do that again. But I do want to hear that. So after this story, let's jump into to that. Remind me, and we'll hear about your wanting to find neighbors but are unable to. The phone number is 888-68-CRAZY to share your nightmare neighbor story with us. Of course, you can also write in at nightmareneighbors.com. Follow us on social media so you don't miss any of the craziness. Let's go to our first letter of the day. It says, all right, first off, I'd like to say I'm a huge fan of both Real Ghost Stories Online and all your other podcasts. I'm very excited about the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. So my now fiance and I moved into a low-income apartment a year and a half ago in Northern California. We're both young adults. It's our first place out on our own, so money is tight. The town we live in is a great town, but the area we moved into is known as the sketchy side of town. There's just a lot of homeless and a lot of people on drugs, but it's not an area where we fear for our lives because the police are very enforcing. So now with our nightmare upstairs neighbor that, well, we call the drunk. So right away we were warned by another neighbor of her and how she's always in everyone's business, that she harasses all the neighbors and that they've gotten into it after she tried to yell at his daughter for playing outside. My fiance was the first one to meet her, and she's an older lady in her 60s. I would guess, and my fiance introduced herself. And before she finished her sentence, right off the bat, she cuts her off and tells her she's disabled and she's lived here for 2 years, but she doesn't know anything, whatever that means. She was very standoffish towards us at first. We were always nice and respectful and for the most part kept to ourselves. Pretty much right away, we had problems with her. She was always bitchy towards us and constantly making noises, whether it was stomping around upstairs, constantly coming in and out of her apartment, always slamming her metal screen door and being mad at something. At first, we ignored it. Then we tried talking to her, but she was always a bitch to us and denied the noise or anything. It was the homeless people she let stay with her. They came. Then came the banging on the roof, which works sometimes. We also could tell off the bat she was a drunk because she's constantly drinking upstairs with a mean drunk. When we tried complaining multiple times to our manager, and even though we weren't the only people complaining and trying to get her out, the manager would tell us she needs solid evidence, and the police were being constantly called for noise complaints because of her, and we even had a cop ask, why hasn't she been evicted yet? Also, most of the sheriffs in our town know her by name, and when my fiancé calls the cops on her, when they hear the address, the dispatch usually says, is it her again? Things finally seemed to look up because she got a new apartment manager who knew all about her and started putting a file together against her. Right when she came in through things got worse. One day, my fiance heard a screaming match, went outside, and then break up the fight between her and another neighbor who's a single mom and has constantly had to deal with her as well. The drunk then turned on my fiance and called her every word in the book, then called the police on both my fiance and the single mom. When the manager came over, she told them the police have already been called from other neighbors. After the drunk realized she was in trouble, she took off so the police couldn't deal with her. Next day, I'm coming home from work, and as I'm walking to my apartment, she's outside staring me down and starts going off on me, calling my fiance all these names. I finally lost it after having to deal with the crazy bitch for a year and blew up on her, calling her every name in the book and telling her to fuck off. Just a couple of weeks ago, she was being loud and my fiance lost it and yelled outside for her to knock it off. She then banged on our door, yelling at us, but after my fiance came out pissed, it got in her face, she backed down and now is afraid of us. We still have to deal with her. Seems like she's not leaving anytime soon. There's so many more crazy stories I can go on and on about, especially with all the tweakers she hangs out with and all the fights she has with them and her gross relationships she has with them. Thanks for hearing my story. That, unfortunately, sometimes comes with the territory of where you find yourself living. I've lived in places, I guess not quite that bad, but basically lower income when I was not making a whole hell of a lot in radio. And, it comes along with the territory and you get shitty people, with that sometimes. But as I've expressed in the last couple of episodes, I don't live in that neighborhood anymore, but there's shitty people in every, I've found it in every type of neighborhood now, because I can say I've probably lived in all of them. And shitty people exist everywhere, and they're just kind of out there. And income sometimes has nothing to do with the quality of the individual that you're dealing with.
Yeah, I can't imagine you can buy the shittiness out of people,
yeah,
or crazy for that matter. But no, it's a situation where I respect, and personally, I live in an area that is, there is the term, you ever heard the term gentrification?
I have.
So basically 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, not the best neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And in some larger cities, you appreciate that rather than allow them to continue to rot and to get even crappier, they take some time, they update old boarded factories, new construction, etc. And mm-hmm, here's the deal, you don't make a lot of money. Sometimes you go through bad times in life. There's nice people who are broke, who are going through a shitstorm of life.
Sure.
But unfortunately, to your point of it comes with the territory, I think you cross your fingers that you have neighbors that are like you, where they appreciate living in a community that they can help better. Unfortunately, there may be neighbors that want to do the exact opposite and not only be kind of the status quo, but cause some riffraff themselves. And as much as you want to better it, mm-hmm, and you get frustrated in wanting them to change, I think you kind of either got to take that on the chin or sadly move to suburbia or move to a neighborhood where, again, you're equally as likely to live next to a meth head in a gated community as you are in possibly a poverty stricken hood. Mm-hmm. But alas, you'd like to think that there's going to be a whole heck of a lot less.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's everywhere. The decency and being a good neighbor don't always necessarily equate to income. And I think a lot of us kind of think that almost, sometimes, especially if you just kind of drive through, you're going through a nicer neighborhood going, oh, wow, I bet they don't have, any issues, like I've seen, in my other old neighborhood here. Oh, no, they're, maybe not exactly the same, but there's other craziness that goes on that can be just as disturbing or sometimes worse. Good, bad, ugly, people are people. And there's shitty people and there's good people everywhere. And you can have really crazy, vindictive nutcases in any neighborhood that
that is out there. So there's no place that's safe, everyone. That's my message. But that's really how I feel. I mean, I really kind of am like to the point, and that's why we're moving. Or, you know, by the time this airs, we probably will have moved. But it's just if you're not good with neighbors, you're not good with people, then you kind of got to call it and say, I'm going somewhere where I don't have neighbors. And then you have asshole animals. You got the coyote. The coyotes are your worst enemy. So
when does the show Cult Brewski begin? Is that post move when you're forming your own?
When I formed the cult
land.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. The other night we were watching, and I say this completely sarcastically and jokingly, but we were on Netflix, and you know, obviously everybody's on Netflix right now trying to watch shit they haven't watched yet, and it's getting sparser and sparser. But we found the dramatization series called Waco. And it was about David Koresh and it's cult. And it really, it's interesting because David Koresh, I'm not sticking up for him. There was a lot of crazy as fuck things that went through his mind as what he was doing. He was not a sane, balanced individual. But there were so many innocent people that were taken advantage of and lost their lives in that. And the way the government handled that whole thing was fucking crazy. And it did not have to end the way that it did. But we were watching that series, and it was just interesting seeing the perspective that it put on it, because it wasn't what we saw in the 90s where he's evil and all these people are evil. And it's like, really? No, they weren't evil. The government really overstepped themselves, and this could have been done, I think, in a much peaceful way. But we were joking, and I said, I can't wait to start our cult in the woods. And she's like, we're not starting a cult. I'm like, really? We could. I could start, like, I could say, I, you know, she's like, we're not doing a cult, Tony. I'm like, ah, damn it. And I was just joking. I'm not starting a cult, but
it's funny because all of your background in radio and imaging and the sound, because you have to think in a hypothetical situation, if you're going to form a cult, maybe you are very vindictive. Maybe you have all of the charisma to, you know, recruit people,
yeah.
But maybe you don't necessarily know how to properly promote yourself. And you being a very successful podcast entrepreneur and all the background of radio and the Labor Day car dealership remote and come on by, it's the deal of the century. You can use that at the convention center where there is the Cult and More show.
The Cult and More convention?
Tables.
Yeah.
Correct. Absolutely. Wanting to become a part of a cult, but you just don't know where, once they go to you and they listen to your audio brochure, well, fuck.
You think,
I'd like two spots.
Is that something you could like do at like the Home and Garden show? It's like, I got a booth and it's like, I've seen some things at Home and Garden shows before that have nothing to do with Home and Garden that are fairly religious related. And it's like, how does this fit the Home and Garden show? So I suppose if I wanted to, I could start a cult at the Home and Garden show and put some banners up and stuff and welcome people in and probably get a few members. If you really
think of it, when there's a little bit more of those Home and Garden and variety, there's 200 booth space. So you'd like to think that some are not as Home and Garden as others.
Yeah.
And from the sales staff side, hey, if you give me money for the booth, I quite honestly don't care what you sell.
Exactly. Yeah. Here's a funny thing, and Jen can probably talk about this on an episode sometime. I shit you not, someone she used to work with, it was her father, not my wife's father, but this woman that she used to work with. We were talking one day about cults and things like that, and she's like, yeah, so-and-so's dad used to run a cult. I'm like, what? Is this something you
did me?
Like, you don't hear about this, like, in conversation. This is not like something that's like, so-and-so used to belong to, you know, some weird sect of religion or something. Sure. But like, used to run a cult. Like, yeah, he had followers and he did this cult thing like in the 70s or something. I'm like, are you fucking serious? And like, yeah, he ran a cult and she remembered this happening and it all dissolved itself. But now he, I think, installs like tile. So you never really know. And it's funny because you never really know when you have someone doing things around your house, general contract work, like tile installers. They've been some of the most interesting to me because they have very, some are normal, some are fine, some, but you never know. You may have one that you start talking to like, hey, nice day today. Yeah. How's it been going? You know, what sort of grout are you using? Sanded, unsanded? Oh, you used to run a cult. How did that go? That's not normal conversation, but you never really know. So it's just one of those things. I mean, could you imagine that one where if he's your neighbor in the condo complex, you get to know him a little bit like, oh, you know what? Like, yeah, back in the 70s, I ran a cult. You fucking did what? Yeah. So, yeah, I'll have to bring that up on a future episode because it was are you serious? But yeah, all too serious. You got nothing to that, do you?
There's not many times where you're speechless.
Yeah, I know.
It's just things. And, what was it? Early 90s or late 80s? The song "Things That Make You Go Hmm."
Mm-hmm. That's one of them.
That there you have it.
And the thing is, the woman that she worked with, very normal, very nice, kind, not the type of person at all that you would suspect her father ran a cult. You would have no, I mean, I don't know what that profile is, but it certainly was not her. It was just like, holy shit. Well, you can, I guess, turn out okay if your dad is the cult leader. So I don't know if there was like no like contact or relationship in childhood and it kind of came on later in life or I have no idea, but,
there's not a lot of things along the lines where you are equally as speechless of a parent running a cult. I would say that's similar to a parent killing a person. I would say that is, and you have to think to yourself, what type of cult was this? Because specifically my nephew, he plays baseball, he plays travel baseball, he's in a lot of tournaments. And quite honestly, some of those coaches, I mean, yeah, it's a cult of kids playing baseball, but my goodness. Just the intensity and the controlling and the, so maybe, you know, it was, there's salad dressing, there's ranch light, there's vinaigrette light. Maybe this was cult light.
I don't think so. I don't think it was Little League and we're going to demean your child for the next 30 minutes. And at the end, we're all going to have a can of Hawaiian punch and call it good.
Okay. Okay.
You know, that was, I mean, I remember Little League. I hated Little League with a freaking passion. I went for the Hawaiian punch at the end and I had to just kind of block out the demeaning shouting from the overzealous dads who couldn't, you know, stand that they couldn't play anymore. But little Timmy, you know, you can do better. Hustle up, Timmy. Jesus, you're running like a sissy. You can do, Jesus, you're horrible. Blah, blah, blah. You know, there were dads like that. And I just wanted to fucking pelt him with the bat. Yeah. So anyway, good
after
times.
After the game, there's high C ecto cooler and push-ups.
I probably
do it. We're in the fifth. It's almost the ninth. High C ecto cooler and push-ups treats for me.
I probably have PTSD to a certain extent from Little League because I was never one to be on the team and go along with anything. It was like, if I was out there, I was getting injured. The few times the ball ever came to me, it hit me, and then I ended up sitting out the rest of the game because it hit me in the head. So that's my Little League life. Like, I'll endure this for the fucking Hawaiian punch. 888-68-CRAZY is our phone number to share your nightmare neighbor story with us. Next one, it starts out, it says, I'm 24 years old, male. I live with my 65-year-old mother. She bought this house about 2 years ago. Redid the whole place from A to Z in a pretty short amount of time to be able to move in ASAP. They're connected houses. The walls, nobody has a fault. It's just like that. Not soundproof at all. My neighbors, family of four, I believe father, 14-year-old son, child, daughter. From the start, we could see, we were bothering them. The first exchange from the woman was my mother saying, your sidewalk is dirty. You'll clean it because it's not my job. Very pretty way. Hell no. No welcome. Just could feel the temperature rising already. We just started heavy work. If you ever been doing that, you know that you do not spend every minute cleaning stuff that will go back to a dirty in no time. Sidewalk was not even dirty, just some dust and small construction debris. Anyway, thing is, the father, who has a super, super, super loud voice, he's on the phone all day and will continue to be until sometimes 2 a.m. It's not far what bothers us most. However, frequently around super late at night, around 10:30, they'll start singing like crazy and super loud and clap their hands together. I believe they're praying or something. Thing is, they really start doing it in the evening, right when my mother usually wants to be peacefully watching a movie or going to bed. Trust me, not want someone preaching the father and singing a gospel, the kid and daughter and mother, and clapping their feet and hands right next door at that time of day. One day it got too much. It was around 11 o'clock at night or so, and I just went to knock a little hard because they would not even hear it. Guy pops at the window upstairs like, "The fuck do you want?" Look on his face. I ask politely, even say, "Sorry to interrupt. If they could lower the volume a little bit." He says, "Okay," and closes the window. Kind of embarrassed to interrupt whatever they're doing because it sounds religious, but it is necessary to do it so late in the evening. Everyone has a way of meditating, praying, and I respect that, absolutely. But it's always in the evening, late and very loud. After talking with some other neighbors, they also told us they think that there's something not quite right with them. Recently, with being stuck at home and able to do nothing, my mom has started to get sick of it and sometimes even needs to take something to be able to sleep at night. Tonight, it happened again. My mom calls me, tells me she's about to go knock again to ask them to keep it at a fair volume. It's past 10 p.m. They start quiet and it becomes more intense and louder, and the more it advances. I get downstairs, go to their door with her. We both were annoyed because it's every day for a while. I knock, they open, a man and woman, and instantly start being overly aggressive and yelling really loud, completely out of their bones, starting to unload all of their shit on us. "Leave us alone. It's only 10 p.m. What's your problem?" I try to talk to them and tell them it's all the time and we're just wishing for quieter evenings. They don't listen to shit. They're going batshit crazy, yelling both about the time. The guy is 5 centimeters from my face with his finger pointed at us. The woman is in my mom's face. They're about 35 years old. I'd say the guy is very tall and heavy, pretty threatening. They tell us how we were so nice to us to not have said anything while we were doing the rework of the place we were in, how dirty we made the sidewalks and how the scaffolding and roofers put up in front of the house are blocking their entrance and they couldn't get in, about all the noise that they did. Thing is, we did those works for probably 1 month and a half or two, and then we were done. We're not loud people at all, and I really don't think they could complain of anything else. I kept trying to make them calm down and try to talk calmly. Apparently, they'd been hating us for so long and not saying shit. There had been points to be talked about, appearance, and I was willing to discuss them calmly. They didn't give a fuck. They told us to not ever knock on their door ever again or else. At this point, everyone in the street is outside to see what the hell's going on. I kept screaming at my face to go the fuck back inside and never knock on their door again. And their other direct neighbors, which they seem to be friends with or even family, intervene and try to calm them down. They keep yelling for a while, still not letting us place any word until they just go back home. Everyone stares in the street. Some other neighbors we know a little bit just tell us it's going to be like that every time. And that whatever we say, even though we're in the right, nothing is going to change. Apparently, some other neighbors have been victims of scratches on cars in the past following similar events. What are we to do exactly? My 65-year-old mother is shaking like a leaf after getting yelled at by these freaks. I'm not feeling good either. As you can imagine, I do not know if cops are really an option because of what I mentioned above. If we introduce a complaint, they will know about it and most likely just make life shit. We do not feel home anymore since tonight. We honestly are thinking that we should just move, as I think my mom deserves more peace and quiet and above all respect at her age. English is not my first language, so I've taken a while writing this and most likely forgot to say lots of stuff. Feel free to answer any of these questions and give your feedback on what you think we should be doing. I just would like to say, because they're sitting up there having a religious ceremony, how Christian of them to be, or whatever they are. Whatever it is, I most religions do not have a tenet of it, of go be the biggest jackass neighbor you can to those around you. I believe there's like a tenet in most of them called love your neighbor as yourself. But I guess if you hate yourself, I guess it kind of translates that way as well. So, holy shit. I don't know what to say there, but I guess, you know, what I do in those situations is move. And maybe that is the best option.
What's very interesting and what's unfortunate is I think some people, they're going through a tough time, or maybe they just have gotten to an age in their life where they are dicks.
Yeah.
And they don't have a lot of people in their life that they get to talk to on a daily basis. So they take it out on anybody and everyone they run into.
Mm-hmm.
So you open the door because they're too loud, it's too late. They don't particularly give two craps about what caused you to come upstairs and say, hi, hello, it's 10 o'clock. Could you stop doing Riverdance rehearsal? They just look at it as an opportunity to unload all of the frustrations they have in life.
Yeah.
And a big old F you. And sadly, with his mom, if you're young, if you're okay with moving, if you're used to doing it every couple of years, sure, that's great. But once you get up there in years and you have some roots in a place, that's a hell of a lot easier said than done to get up and just move your mom.
Yeah. No, it is. I know.
So I would just become a private investigator and wait for them to break even the smallest of laws. Hi, police. And then cross your fingers, they get evicted.
The thing is, I mean, yeah, you hope they get evicted, but people, you know, where they're threatening or else, and they don't seem to have any sort of compass, there's no break there. There's not an emergency break. They're not tapping the brakes. They're just getting right up in people's faces. So you set someone like that off, I think you start fearing for your own safety of what are they going to do? What are they capable of? You'd like to tell yourself, oh, people won't do anything too extreme. Really? Have you watched Dateline over the last 25 years? Because people will do some crazy shit for little to no reason. And sometimes they're just that fuse waiting to be lit. And if you're the one that's lighting it, you don't want to be on the other end of that firecracker when it goes off. So I get where they're coming from. It's like, what do we, and then the anxiety of sitting in that situation is the worst. It's not even so much just like getting them gone. It's having to endure it until it's done and not knowing, you know, are you safe? Are you going to be safe? What's going to happen? Are they going to come back even once they're gone? You know, people are vindictive. So I don't know. It's a real tough situation. What ultimately everything comes down to here with bad neighbors is selfishness and a lack of awareness or caring for anyone but themselves. And what that ultimately is narcissism. And it's a narcissistic personality disorder. And we have a giant epidemic of it here in this country. You want to talk about pandemic? You know, I don't know if the word pandemic can be used for something like narcissism, but certainly epidemic can be used. There are far more people with narcissistic personality disorder in our country than I think anything at all. I think it is the biggest problem that we face in our country, and that's why we are living in the type of world we are living in right now. No one takes accountability for anything that they do. They're never wrong. Their opinions are facts, and there's no changing it. No matter how factual what you're pointing in front of them is, the sky is blue today. If someone wants to disagree and say, no, I'm sorry, there's a moon and star out right now. No, it's the middle of the day. The sky is blue. There's no clouds in the sky. No, I think there's a tornado over there. If they want to believe that, they believe that. And we're just in this place where we're supposed to go, oh, that's your truth. Okay, that's fine. No, that's a fucking all roads lead to crazy, but that's where narcissism goes. And it's whatever they want, however they want, whenever they want, no matter what it affects other people. And it's one of those interesting, I don't know if you want to call it a disease or disorder, whatever it may be. It is nearly impossible to break. It's nearly impossible to cure. I've done a lot of research on it. I've done a lot of reading on it from people in my world who have this. And it's really disheartening and disturbing to hear about it, because most things you can go, oh, you know, it can be worked on this way or that way. This is one where most psychologists, most psychiatrists, all that say, good fucking luck. Unless this person ever recognizes it, which most never do, there is no getting through. It's like, you know, it's not going to kill you, but it's like a terminal type thing where it's like, it's not going to fucking change.
Would you say that there are contributing factors that brought this disorder, this character flaw out of people, say the last 15 years, the advent of social media and the opportunity to get the same feelings that you would need to have human interaction, say an argument, even feelings of joy, where you have the opportunity to voice that, to get a reaction at the palm of your hand on your computer, and now even simpler on your phone?
I think that stuff enables it more and more, but I think it goes back further. I think it goes way back. I think it goes back to 70s and 80s and kind of excessiveness and whatever I want, I'm going to get now. And that generation then having children and then enabling the children to get whatever they want, whenever they want it. And then that generation now being adults and people never being wrong, and it's me first, and it's people never, you know, broke a mold of, I mean, I'm not saying everyone, there's plenty of people who don't have this, but those of us who don't just are like, oh my God, I have to go live far away from society because I can't deal with this. It's a systematic thing. It's a conditioning thing that all of us, to a certain extent, we all have narcissistic traits. We all have certain things that we can be this on. But when you get to the disorder, it's such a level that is so extreme, and it harms so many things that they are completely unaware of, because it's not a direct harm to them, but it's so toxic to those around them. And when you surround yourself with people like that, I mean, it's master manipulation that goes on as well, where if there's an enemy, that enemy knows that this person has this, but the others, they charm them. They think they're just the most wonderful people. It's a really sick, weird thing, if you look into it, of just how vicious this thing can be. But it certainly leads to a lot of unhappiness in interpersonal situations when you're on the bad side of it. I think that's what we have with this show and with Nightmare Neighbors, is more times than not, probably 97% of the time when you have a nightmare neighbor, they got this, they're rocking this 100% because they're not aware of what they're doing, and they never will be aware of what they're doing. So that's why we're here, so you can let it all
out.
So
if you were thinking about buying that, condo, that's a great deal, but you have neighbors 7 feet to your left and 7 feet to your right, don't even fucking think about it.
I'm not saying all neighborhoods are bad. There's plenty that are good. And if you're a neighborhood person, and some people grew up and they love that community, and that's fine. I am personally not one of them. But some people thrive on that, and that's fine. I recognize it. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's not everyone's cup of tea. And it's just not something where everybody thrives in that sort of an environment. Some of us, it's detrimental to our mental health. So that's my long-winded rant on that. Tell me about, you were saying earlier, you were searching for some neighbors and you couldn't find them. What was happening there?
So earlier in the day, with no power, I had the opportunity to run into Chatty Cathy, who just wanted to chat forever, and I had no interest. Fast forward to later in the evening, still power outage in the immediate neighborhood, and I am out on my patio, which overlooks a building. In the building, one of the businesses is a a healthy, fit meal service where there it's the kitchen and mm-hmm. they'll cook and they'll make all these meals and then they'll go deliver their clients. They have businesses they deliver to.
Sure.
So a lot of good food. A gentleman that owns the place that I had seen, we've never chatted at length, but I kind of know who this person is over time of seeing them make deliveries, etc. I'm out on my patio just hanging out and having just ate, mind you, just ate dinner. So that's part of the story. And he looks up at me and looked down at him and still out of power. Yep, still out. You guys too. Yep. Then there's a lull in the conversation. He says, do you want some food? And I thought, you sure? Really? Yeah. So then as I said, sure, I'll be right down. So I'm on the third floor. So as I'm going down around the corner thinking, oh, well, they're out of power too. And he has these commercial size freezers. Maybe he wants to get rid of some food before it just has to throw it in the garbage.
Yeah.
So I get to the door and he has, I feel like I'm at Sam's or Costco. He has carts of salmon, tilapia, ground turkey, asparagus, carrots. And in my head, I'm thinking, okay, now he's out of power. He knows I'm out of power as well, right? He's giving me all this fresh, amazing food that he's taken out of the commercial grade freezer. And I'm thinking, I have no effing clue where the fuck I'm going to put this. Mm-hmm. But if somebody has given you all this amazing stuff, I'm not going to not take it. So I took it, brought it over to the clubhouse room here, put it on the counter, had to make two trips because it's a big old box of meats and fish, big old box of vegetables. And it's like a kid in a candy store. It's Christmas morning.
Yeah.
But I have no power. I have no fridge. I have no freezer. And I'm thinking, okay, I can make we can have a big old grill out right now. This is fantastic. But I'm literally, there's two buildings in the community that are on one electrical grid, if you will. We were out of power. And then there's two around the corner that are on a different transformer that they never lost power. So I'm thinking in my head, okay, I don't particularly know a lot of my neighbors, but I'm just going to take a stroll. And should there be an opportunity where I can casually strike up some small talk and then just slip in, hey, by the way, do you guys want some salmon or some asparagus, some fresh food that I just got? And so I took a walk. None of the opportunities presented themselves because I couldn't find a neighbor, let alone enough to suffice to give all this food, which has a very, very small window of freshness.
Yeah.
So I end up going to the grocery store. I get three coolers. I get four bags of ice.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking to myself, well, fuck. Do you remember the game show back in the day called Supermarket Sweep?
Yes.
Where you would buy groceries. I'm thinking, yes, I'm going to fucking win this episode because I have all of this food, like $500 worth of food. So I go to the grocery store and I get ice and I get coolers. And I come back and I'm thinking to myself, well, fuck, okay, I can't save it all. But like this, like 12 salmon fillets
mm-hmm.
that I wanted to find neighbors and say, here, Merry Christmas, May 3rd. Fast forward, I
have
get
a
home.
Salmon.
And wouldn't you know, power's back on and 10 fucking neighbors are all out celebrating. Which at that point I'm thinking, well, fuck. I have my freezer. I can keep it all and eat like a king for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So last night, the salmon and asparagus was lovely.
So you kept it and hoarded all your food that you got.
I mean, I asked people, but there was
attempted,
a little bit of...
I would do the same thing.
I'm not faulting you at all. But then...
I don't even know that I would have gone to the length of going and asking strangers if they'd like to partake in a feast. I would have been like, fuck it. My first stop would have been going to the Publix and getting the coolers and the ice and very discreetly hauling the salmon into my house and hiding it like Walter White hides a fucking body. like,
well,
where's all that fish?
What fish? What I thought about doing as well in this time that we're recording, we're obviously going through a shitstorm of a pandemic. I was going to bring it to a food shelter or food pantry, but mm-hmm. I immediately thought the protocol and restrictions right now on sanitation,
you know,
they're not going to be able to take it.
Sure.
So that's where the neighbors came in, and I thought not even to make me Because some people, which is really unfortunate too, the neighbor where you have, that they'll do something for you, mm-hmm. but they won't do it out of the kindness of their heart. They'll do it so you know, hey, I did this for you.
Yeah.
So then next time I this, that, or the other, you're a douche. How yeah. about you just do something because you're a genuinely kind person?
Yeah.
And that's a situation that I was coming from where, holy crap, what are the odds this, you know, amazing business that all this food is going to go bad. Mm-hmm. And hey, do you want it? Sure. It's myself and my black lab. But yes, I'll take your 4 pounds of ground turkey and tilapia and salmon fillets and 7 economy size bags of fresh asparagus. Sure.
You're fed for a while now. And with not having much, you know, of a job at the moment because of everything, there you go. That it worked out perfectly for you. I would have probably been even more selfish than you. Kudos to you for going out and attempting to be a good neighbor. I would have already said fuck it much earlier on because I'm a horrible person. But I'm just keeping it real, kids. So yeah, well, that's interesting. But I get what you're saying about the some places where people are like they do good deeds, but not in the vein of I want to just do the good deed. They do it because they want the recognition from others that they are doing a good deed. And we had a lot of that in the neighborhood that I live in or lived in by the time this airs, knock on wood, where it's like a community Facebook page and it's constantly like, oh, we're going to do this for this group. And we've put this much money in of ourselves. If anyone else wants to contribute, it's like, I'm sorry, when you do shit like that, you just do it. You know, and if you want to encourage other people to do it, then encourage other people to do it. But I don't need to know the dollar amount that you contributed or whatever else. You know, like there's been several times during this whole shitstorm pandemic, and I'm going to make this example not because I'm trying to toot my own horn, because I haven't, and I never said this on their Facebook page, and I guess I'll publicly share it here for the point of it. But there was a lot of things going on where people needed certain supplies. In the medical community. And we actually had a lot of them here from previous projects and things like that. And I knew someone who was a nurse in the area and just reached out, said, hey, could you guys use some of this stuff? Yes. Okay. It's going to be on our porch. Come pick it up. Gave it away. And I didn't go on Facebook and say, we just gave away all of this stuff. And I encourage you to do the same thing too. And, you know, it's just, there's so much, it goes, again, all roads lead to narcissism. I mean, I get it. Helping people is good. That is a good thing to do. But you can tell when there's this, the motive of, I'm truly doing this because it's out of the goodness of my heart. And I'm doing this because I want people to look at me and think of me as a good person. You can be a good person, you know, without having to have, and that will naturally come. At least it should normally. People still think of me as a horrible person, even though I do good things. Maybe because I don't tout it. I don't know. But it's kind of one of those crazy things that that goes on these days. So anyhow, that
anonymous.
Yeah.
Anonymous is the best way that you can make a donation or yeah. you do what you do. You want to help a cause, etc.
Exactly.
But again, that takes a very strong person, a very humble person, and doesn't need an attaboy
yeah.
or attagirl for doing it.
No, you just do it because it's the right thing to do. And that's it. You don't need to post about it. Don't need to make a graphic. Don't need to do this or that. You just do it because it's the right thing. Anyhow. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Nightmare Neighbors. If you have a Nightmare Neighbor story, share it with us, 888-68-CRAZY or nightmareneighbors.com. And watch, what's your Instagram at what is it?
Sean Reed, SHAWNREED on air.
You can watch all of the new pictures that he posts nightly of different ways he prepares salmon for the next 3 weeks every night on Instagram. I'm at Tony Bruschi, Tony Bruesky. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to the Nightmare Neighbors podcast.